Chapter 7 contains some beautiful meditations in which the believing heart can find comfort against the ugliness of the dead body, against the unfriendliness of the cold grave, against the gulping and twitching of the dying, and finally preserves him with the beneficial medicine of God, with which he will not taste the bitterness and sting of death. 1. But it is obvious that a man dies. Man does indeed die, and must give up his life on account of sin. But whoever has the sweet comfort of Jesus Christ in his heart, and rejoices in things eternal, such an one looks upon death merely as a separation and release from this veil of tears, as being unyoked from this toilsomeness, and as a journey home to our eternal fatherland. For Christ, who dwells in them, has tasted death for them, deprived it of its power, and broken its sting, so that death can no longer do anything more to the believers than merely to separate body and soul, and deprive them of this fleeting life. But just as all things must work together for their good, so even death serves them in this way, that it releases them from all evil and brings them to rest. Scripture testifies powerfully to this. Christ himself says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So listen and learn, dear soul, what your death is. It is nothing more than a separation, a journey to peace. Yes, for believers, dying means nothing else than that the Lord Christ comes and takes them to himself. Lord Jesus Christ, thou eternal light, enlighten mine eyes, that I, as a newborn creature, may look upon death with new eyes, not looking upon it as being my ruination, but only as being thy messenger, through which thou dost call me away from this veil of tears, and dost bring me into rest. Ah, then come, Lord Jesus, whenever it is thy will, unyoke me, release me, take me home, let thy servant depart in peace, who longs for thy rest. Amen. 2. But death makes us very horrible and detestable, cold and misshapen. We must grow stiff and decay in the grave. That is also a penalty which God has permitted to come upon the body on account of sin. But the believing children of God do not look only at how horribly death treats them. They look further and try to imagine how beautiful, how lively, how lovely, how charming, how pure and glorious their bodies will be on that day when this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" That was Job's comfort when he was full of boils and misery. He commended himself to God, looked beyond, and said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." O dear soul, how beautiful, how pure, how clean our bodies will be on that day. There is no star sparkling and glittering in the heavens, not even the sun and the moon, that will shine and shimmer like our bodies, when the Lord shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, yes, when we shall be likened not merely unto the angels, but unto the Lord himself. Now we are the grains of wheat of our Lord God, which he sows in his acre of ground. But when God's springtime begins, the true warmth will come, and the true sun will rise. Then we shall go forth and arise, and bear truly eternal fruits. For it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Strengthen me, my Lord Jesus Christ, that I may not be frightened at the misshapen appearance of dead bodies, and may not dread to think that my body will become a cold corpse, that it will decay in the grave and return to dust and earth. But help me, that in joyful hope I may much rather look at the glory and purity which will be revealed not only in my soul, but also in my body. Grant that I may rejoice over this in my heart, and every day sing and say, No fruit the grain of wheat brings forth, if it falls not in the ground, so must this body formed of clay in dust and ashes be found, before it can that glory share, which thou, Lord Jesus, didst prepare by going to thy Father. Amen. 3. But there are still frightful things to hear, not to mention to experience. For example, death, dying, grave, tomb, burial, filling the grave, decay, rotting. Such words are still frightening to our flesh and blood, because death is our enemy, and we are still subject to death. Our mortal nature thinks of death as we have deserved it according to the law, namely, that we will die not only here in time on account of our sins, but will be destroyed also eternally, that we will sink into the pit of hell and be enveloped in the fire of hell, if Christ, our Savior, would not help us. It is from this that such fears come and cling to us even unto the grave. It is like a person who has been rescued from death by fire or water, but who still trembles whenever he thinks about it. So also our whole nature and all our powers tremble violently when we think of the great misery in which we were to have been destroyed, and consider that we must still suffer the sting of death on account of our sins and must die. In contrast to this, the children of God should learn an entirely new language and see what the Holy Gospel says about this. For the Gospel calls the death of the believers a sleep, and it calls the grave a chamber of rest. For since Christ has endured the punishment of death for us, suffered the anguish of hell for us, satisfied the justice of God for us, and has earned life for us, therefore, in the Gospel, the Holy Ghost abolishes the ugly names and comforts his believers with an entirely new language. For the Lord says thus, Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. And again, many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake. And Christ himself says, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awaken him out of sleep. And again, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. The Passion history also says, Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Therefore, dear soul, learn to comprehend these new gospel expressions with new devotion. Behold, through his death, the Lord has changed your dying into a gentle falling asleep, and has made your grave into a soft bed of rest. When you die, that is called falling asleep. When you are laid in the grave, that is called going to bed. When someone fills the grave with dirt, that is called closing the door behind you. When your body decays, that is called resting and hiding yourself until the indignation be overpast. Lord God, Holy Spirit, take possession of my heart and fill it with the comforting grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. Teach me again to distinguish rightly between law and gospel. Suppress in me the fear and horror of death, and teach me the beneficial and comforting sayings of thy gospel. Grant that I may not only hear with the ears and repeat it with my mouth, but also that I may believe and experience it in my heart, so that when my last hour comes, I may not die, but gently fall asleep, not be laid in a grave, but in my little chamber, not decay, but rest and repose until thou wilt again awaken me. So I now lay me in thine arms, Lord Jesus, as a child rests in the arms of its mother. I commend my soul to thee, fall asleep, and rest in peace. No one can me awaken, but thou, Lord Jesus, God's Son. Hereafter my grave thou wilt open. Lead me into eternal life. Amen. 4. What you say sounds good, but I still see the dying man. He must suffer pain. Sometimes they shake vehemently, twitch, hiccup, cross their eyes, and break out in a cold sweat. To be sure, a person sees this not only in the children of this world who die without repentance, but often also in the believers themselves. Thus, the sinful mortal body must feel the sting of death and receive the wages of sin. But even though a person may see in them also the anguish and pains of death, still the children of God are not aware of it themselves, for their heart is preserved and secured by the sweetness and power of the grace of Jesus Christ. Their hearts are so occupied, permeated, and therefore filled with the gospel, that they feel no anguish of death, no bitterness in the sweetness of his comforting power, and they cannot be aware of the shaking and the cold sweat. For the comfort of Jesus Christ is so great that there is enough for all and against all terror. And the name of Jesus Christ is so sweet that it counteracts all bitterness, so that even in the midst of death, the believer is given a foretaste of eternal joy and salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, who for my sins has tasted the bitterness of death, and in thy anguish of death hast grieved, trembled, and been fearful in my stead, I pray thee, preserve me from an uneasy and painful death. Fill my heart with living faith and rich comfort, that I may not have too great a fear of death, and may not be so greatly horrified at its sting. O Jesus, refresh my soul with thy sweet name in my hour of death. Amen. 5. Is there no medicine available which a person might take, with which he need not taste so greatly the sting of death? Yes, indeed, dear soul, for the Lord your Savior says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Here, dear soul, you hear from the mouth of your heavenly physician. Be sure that you learn to take this medicine rightly, for it can dispel the pains of death. This medicine is the word of your Lord Jesus Christ, not Moses' word, which is the law of God, not the word of men, not magical superstitious words, but your Lord Christ's word. This is the comforting preaching of his holy gospel, in which he proclaims, promises, and grants to all believing hearts the forgiveness of sins, righteousness which avails before God, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. This word and heavenly medicine the Lord gives to his believers from out of his heart and his mouth. That is, they hear it, keep it, and preserve it in a truly good heart, cling to it, and depend upon it in life and in death. Yes, they grasp it in their heart with a genuine, true, and strong faith, and in the words they taste Christ himself and his comfort, so that when they have thus received it, they will not taste the bitterness of death because of the sweetness of the word and comfort of Jesus Christ. For Christ is in the word, and the word leads to Christ and his power. Whoever would have the Lord must have his word, and whoever has and keeps the word has also the Lord himself, together with all the sweetness of his grace and comfort. He will not see death, that is, he will not feel nor experience, not be aware of, nor taste its bitterness and pains. For the Lord himself explains it thus, Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And again he says, I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. That is, they build on his sure word, venture out upon it, taste Christ and his comfort in the word, commend themselves with their body and life to the true God, and rejoice and comfort themselves in their dear Lord Christ. Yes, they wrap themselves in the word as a person wraps a dead body in a shroud. Thus everything befalls them just as Christ's word says, and they feel Christ and his grace together with a foretaste of eternal life in their hearts. O thou noble, beautiful, glorious, blessed medicine, which is certain and does not deceive, what more do you want, dear soul, and what do you seek? Take this heavenly medicine into your heart, use it well, and preserve yourself with it every day and every moment. Just see how the world boasts when it knows of some medicine for a fever or for a toothache or for bad eyes. How precious and valuable people esteem such things. How much more should you boast with this heavenly divine medicine of your Savior, who even takes away death and who is a father of all sicknesses. Do not ask, dear soul, whether this remedy is proved and certain. One need only look at the example of the saints who have used this medicine. Saint Stephen was full of faith and comfort of Jesus Christ, and he could therefore fall asleep blessed and say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Saint Paul, too, preserved his heart with this heavenly medicine. Therefore, he could daily bid defiance to death and say, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That is also what the dear martyrs did. Ignatius was filled with the sweetness of the name of Jesus Christ, so he paid no attention to any torture. Polycarp was inflamed with the love and ardor of Jesus Christ, and he therefore went comforted to the fire. Laurentius had the treasure of life in his heart, and therefore scorned the tyrants in all things that he had to suffer. And when he saw that he was going to be martyred in a horrible manner, he said, I have long wished for the refreshment. Vincentius felt in his faith the foretaste of eternal life. Therefore, when he was tormented in many ways, he was filled with joy and thanked God that he was counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Philip Melanchthon reports that he, together with others, had heard and seen that beloved man of God, Dr. Martin Luther, as he lay in a fatal sickness. He repeated often this saying of St. Paul and comforted his heart with the words, God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Yes, dear soul, such comforting sayings of Scripture are refreshment to our souls. Thereby true comfort is preserved in the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the heart is refreshed even unto the end. Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast indeed the words of eternal life. My soul longs and yearns for thy comfort. Yes, my Savior, whoever keeps thy word and leans upon it has the genuine heavenly medicine which does not deceive against death and distress and against all the gates of hell. O my Lord Jesus, fill my hungry heart with thy word, and fill me completely with thy comfort. Behold, my God, just as my dead body is wrapped in a white shirt and is carried away, even so wrap my soul up in the word of thy comforting promise. Thy word is truth and endureth forever. Therefore I too will be preserved eternally through faith in thy word. Yes, my Lord Jesus, whoever believes thy word believes also in thee. Whoever keeps thy word keeps also thee. And whoever has thee has life also. And whoever has life can and will not taste death eternally. For thou sayest, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this, my soul? Yes, Lord Jesus, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I believe in thee, have thee in my heart, comfort myself with thy words, and depend completely upon thee. Therefore I am sure that I am also one of those who will not see death, nor taste its bitterness, and will not feel its sting. Help and grant this unto me, Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of thy true and holy word. Amen.